You are listening to the French Kiss Live podcast, where we explore what it means to live artfully and well. I'm Tanya Lee, your hostess. Let's get started. Hey, friends. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a quick heads up. I am losing my voice for some mysterious reason. I'm not sick. I feel amazing, but I sound like Marge Simpson. So if my voice cuts in and out, the show must go on, no matter what. So I'm just going to go ahead and apologize ahead of time. But I do have a very exciting topic for today's podcast, which is restraint. I know. Some of you are so excited, right? You're probably thinking, come on, Tanya, can we talk about champagne or sex or fashion, but really restraint? But my intention is that I actually sell you on the idea that restraint is such an amazing thing. You know, for me, I fell in love with the rich simplicity of French living. And since then, I've been on this path of less but better for many years now. And I don't pretend to be the restraint queen or the queen of simplicity, but it is something that I constantly crave and I'm constantly creating more of in my life. And the effect of that is looking at the results of my life and how much so much has changed by practicing restraint. Because less requires restraint. And historically speaking, I was not a gal who liked to have limits, which is why restraint was such a terrible word in my vocabulary. I wanted to have all the options on the table because for me, options means more opportunity, more fun, right? I'm also a pleasure seeker. And so for me, restraint meant that I would be denying myself of pleasure. And I'm also one of those people that wants to experience all of the things. Can you relate? Like, if there are 100 things to experience in any moment, my pattern in the past has been to try to experience all of them. And so restraint was one of those words that honestly just turned my stomach. And obviously, I had a lot of internal conflict that I needed to address because part of me was so turned on by the idea of less. And then there was this other part of me that was terrified of the idea. But then I thought about what I tell my clients all of the time. If you want to know if your way of being, thinking, and doing is working for you, just look at the results that you've created in your life. And for me, the results were not so stellar, my friends. Things like overwhelm, an inability to focus and get things done. There was also clutter around that I'd just move from one room to the next or one drawer to the next. Can you relate? You know, also like a stuffed closet, because to me, you know, an amazing life meant a lot of amazing clothes, which turns out we only use like 20% of our clothes for the most part. And so I was just putting more and more stuff in my closet. And the more I stuffed it, the more overwhelmed I felt with my own getting dressed every morning. Let's see, also weight fluctuations. By not restraining myself, my weight was up and down. And then, of course, messy finances, you guys. Like, so messy. I've always said I'm great at making money. But historically speaking, managing money was not my forte. And so because I wasn't practicing restraint, it showed up in my financial life. So in other words, I felt like I was flailing around in life. Like if you imagine a piece of salmon that's washed up on the beach and it's just like flipping around, that was me. Even though I was in the sun, you know, trying to pretend I was having fun, I was like gasping for air. And the irony is that I prided myself in being this free spirit, but the truth of it was I was anything but free. I was trapped in the chaos of my own making. And so the answer for me has been to pursue the elegance of restraint. It was the antidote to my self-created chaos. Because restraint means the measure that keeps someone or something within limits. Think about it. As children, our parents usually give us limits. You know, one of the limits is you don't walk out into the street, because if you do, you'll get hit by a car, right? So we are taught limits, but somewhere in adulthood, we think we are beyond limits. And what ends up happening is that we create a lot of chaos and we end up sabotaging ourselves. And so I realized that I wanted to live within the limits of my dreams and my potential, which meant that I had to start cutting away everything else. Now, you're probably thinking, Tanya, yes, this is me and I know I need some limits, but where do I even start? So I've got some helpful ways that I've personally practiced the pursuit of restraint, and some of them are surprising. They were surprising to me when I started to do it. However, the effect of this has been so profound. It's made my life have so much more space to breathe and to dream and to take action on my dreams. So the first one actually is the restraint of dreams. Hear me out. I am the biggest dreamer you will ever meet, and I encourage women to have dreams, but Rome was not built in a day, my friend, and neither are your dreams. If you are trying to lose weight, make $1 million, write a book, organize your home, start a business, get in shape, be a great mom and a wife all at the same time, chances are you are paralyzed with where to start and with overwhelm. But imagine if you really focus down on just one dream at a time. As someone who was so resistant to this idea and now practices it ruthlessly in my life, I can attest to the magical powers of restraining your dreams. Because here's what ends up happening is that you wake up with a very clear focus. You know exactly what to say yes to and what to say no to. You feel a sense of completion. You begin to build the momentum in your life. You feel really proud of what you're accomplishing. And all of this ends up spilling into every area of your life and into the next dream that you want to work towards. Now, your season may be a month or a year or maybe 5 years, but where do you want to focus? Is it your finances, your health, your home, your relationships, your career, your hobbies, your business? Choosing one priority seems to be undoable in our multitasking and busy minds, where our inboxes are exploding and we have like 20 tabs open on our computers. But what's life been like by trying to do all the things? Really get honest with yourself. One of my favorite books, I recommend this to a lot of my clients, is a book by Greg McKeown. It's called Essentialism. And he explains the surprising history of the word priority and how its meaning has shifted over time. Here's what he wrote. The word priority came into the English language in the 1400s. It was singular. It meant the very first or prior thing. It stayed singular for the next 500 years. Only in the 1900s did we pluralize the term and start talking about priorities. Illogically, we reasoned that by changing the word, we could bend reality. Somehow we could now be able to have multiple first things. People and companies routinely try to do just that. One leader told me of this experience in a company that talked of priority one, priority two, priority three, priority four, and priority five. This gave the impression of many things being the priority, but actually meant nothing was. Ooh, preach, Greg. That is so good. Really think about that. If everything is a priority, nothing is a priority. And when it comes to our dreams, I know it's so scary to choose just one, but I have seen it in my own life and I've seen it in the lives of my clients. When you are trying to reach 4, 5, 6 different goals at the same time, almost always you will reach none of them. You know, we thought we were smart by trying to make everything a priority, but by looking at the results of our society, more overwhelm, depression, frustration, and anxiety than ever before, it's clearly not working. So my challenge for you is to practice restraint when it comes to your dreams. Be bold enough to choose just one thing that you will commit to going all in on. And I promise you, you will be amazed at the results. And I know how hard this is. And this is what I'm really, really good at. I help my clients get crystal clear clarity about where they need to focus and helping them map it out. And I've had so many of you ask me about this and want support around it. So I actually created a program. It's not even a program. It is a live workshop where I am going to be walking you through my exact process of going from many dreams and ideas down to focus, mapping it out, learning how to think and embody the dream on purpose and see it through to reality. And we're going to be doing this 30 days at a time. So this first session is from Jan 1 through the end of January, and we are going to be focused on taking action on one thing. If you are wanting to kick off 2019 with a huge bang, and I'm not talking about the typical New Year's resolutions, I'm going to lose weight. I'm talking about something so much deeper and so much more effective that will continue to feed off of itself month after month after month. Because my wish for you is that at the end of 2019, you look back and you think, wow, this was the year that I changed. This was the year that I actually followed through and completed things. If that's something you are looking for, I would love to support you. You can head over to thedreamatelier.com/enroll. And that is the dream atelier, atelier.com/enroll. So the restraint of dreams. Now I want to talk about another thing that I've learned to restrain. And this one was the one that was like super surprising to me, because I used to believe that I wanted a small city of friends, like really close friends. And then I started making friends wherever I went. I love people. I love, love, love people. So making friends is something so easy for me. And at first it felt amazing to be in New York City and have like 10 people that are like wanting to take you to dinner, or to be traveling to Paris or LA, anywhere, like friends everywhere. I still have amazing people in those cities, but I'm talking about close friends. And what I noticed is that as more and more text messages started to roll in, and the invites were nonstop, and the phone calls were coming in during dinner time, I started to feel so overwhelmed with the amount of people in my life. I think for me, I can be very extroverted, but I'm also an introvert. I need me time. I need time just to be with myself and my thoughts and my dogs. They're sort of like people, but for some reason, I respond differently to them. They give me energy. And so I really had to honor my introverted tendencies. And the other thing I noticed as well is that I started to feel so guilty, because I couldn't respond to all the messages within a day. I was exhausted from trying to attend all the dinners and events and do all the things. And what I understood is that it wasn't fair to them or me, because by trying to be a good friend to many, I was being a horrible friend to my few closest friends. Not to mention, there wasn't a lot of space for myself or my dreams. And that's when I made a conscious decision to restrain my close circle of friends and really, really go all in and invest in the friendships that mean the most to me. So when it comes to friends, I really do crave less, but better. Better communication, better quality time, better text messaging turnaround. Like, I just really want to love my few friends hard. And that's required that I not have so many close people in my inner circle. Now, I'm not saying that that is necessarily right for you. I will just tell you from my perspective, restraining my close circle of friends has opened up so much more space and freedom and really allowed me to go deeper with friendships versus staying on the surface. And I've come to understand we only have so much to give, especially when it comes to our time. So choosing wisely where to invest this precious commodity is such a crucial part of elegance. Okay, the next one's big, you guys, because I feel like if you're listening to this, you're like me, you love to learn. I will forever be a student. I love learning and growing, but when my Kindle library was growing faster than my ability to read it, I knew there was an issue. Like my friendships, I was skimming the surface and not fully devoting my energy into one thing long enough to feel the effects of it. So I made a decision to restrain the number of teachers that I'm learning from at any given time, to restrain the number of books that I'm reading at any given time. My rule of thumb is I don't buy a new book until I've completed the last one, unless it's just a really terrible book. Like, I don't force myself to read things that I don't really enjoy. But before, I was trying to read like 5 books at one time, which, if you can relate, you know, we never really get through the books and we never really get much substance out of it because we're not truly invested in it. Another rule that I've made for myself is I don't purchase a new program until I've completed the last one. It has made my life so much easier because I know that feeling of, ooh, let me do that one more program. And you haven't even finished the one before, or maybe 5 before that. And so those are just rules that I've set up around my knowledge that allows me to really dive in and turn that knowledge into wisdom. Because to me, wisdom is when you begin to apply what you're learning and you're feeling the effects of it in your life. And that does not happen when you're just like flittering around, reading a sentence here, buying a program there. So restraining my knowledge has been so, so useful. And I feel like it's just had an amazing, amazing effect on my life. This next one's a good one. The restraint of spending. Because when it comes to money, you all, I love feeling abundant, but I had this confused for a long time. Because at one point I thought, if I feel abundant, that means spending a lot of money. And if you've ever received a credit card bill after out of control spending, you know that is not an abundant feeling at all. And what I've come to understand is that abundance is about taking care of your money, investing it well, and spending it on the things that mean the most to you. And another thing I've noticed is that the more abundant I feel, the less stuff I feel like I need to buy, which is crazy. When I really, really feel abundant, I'm able to decide very wisely about what I want and what I don't want, because I realize now a lot of my spending in the past was being driven out of fear. It's almost like when you are going on a diet, like the night before, it's like, let me eat all the things, right? When you feel like, okay, I'm going to really start taking care of my money, there's that voice. It's like, go buy all the things. And it was just like with food, it was a very tumultuous relationship that I had with money. But I discovered that when I learned to restrain myself and spend on what I value and really put thought and effort into my purchases, I started to have this amazing relationship with money. Crazy. I never thought I would utter those words. I never thought I would say that, and also that I don't struggle with food, because I just was convinced that those two issues would forever be present in my life. But practicing restraint is how I've been able to heal both of those areas. When it comes to money, just like with food, I like to decide ahead of time what I'm going to spend my money on. For example, I've already decided how much I'm going to spend on Christmas gifts. When I travel to Paris each year, I have decided in my mind the purchases that I really want to make. I also give my daughter a budget so that she can learn to restrain herself as well. I also know that for me, one of my core values is inspiration. And one of the ways that I am inspired is by investing in my own personal growth. And so when it comes to personal growth, those are usually really easy investments for me. And I feel like by knowing that ahead of time, I'm able to keep myself within the restraint of what is important to me. Whereas before, I just wanted to buy all the things because I was afraid of not having enough, right? Whereas now, it's a very purposeful way of being with money by using restraint. And the irony is that I don't feel lack at all. In fact, being intentional with your money and spending on things that you really value and you put a lot of thought and care into it, it creates a feeling of abundance. So don't fool yourself like I tried to do for all those years, that overspending and then avoiding looking at your bills is freedom and abundance, because we both know it's not. This is the behavior that is actually full of lack and scarcity. And practicing restraint with your money is one of the ways that you get into a more abundant mind space around money. Now I want to talk about the last area that I've learned to practice restraint around that has changed everything, like literally. So I said earlier, there are two areas of my life that I thought I'd always struggle with, money and food. Food was the bigger issue. And restraining myself around food has been the hardest and the most beautiful thing I've ever done. You know, I work a lot with women around their weight and their bodies, and my weight loss clients are terrified of being denied food. And they'll admit to me that they want to lose weight and be able to eat anything and everything that they want and as much as they want. And I was one of them, so I get it. The idea of having rules around food would make me run straight to the fridge and consume every leftover container that I could get my hands on. Once again, I had confused massive consumption with freedom, but clearly my mind nor my body was free. It felt like being trapped in a living hell because you can't just avoid food. It's not like alcohol or drugs where you can just avoid it. You need to eat every single day. And by over-consuming and having no restraints, I was gaining weight, which made me feel terrible about myself. And then I would beat myself up because I'm like, look at you, once again, you're such a failure, you're such a loser. And it was just such a toxic cycle. And for any of you that struggle with your body, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And what really helped me turn a corner with food was seeing how French women have such a pleasurable relationship with food that is actually built on restraint. They are not over there, y'all, eating croissants every day and eating all the chocolate and butter that they want. Yet they don't deny themselves the chocolate, but they also don't allow themselves to gorge on it either. So when it comes to food, I have personal restraints for myself that have allowed me to create a healthy weight. At one time, I was over 200 pounds. And now, I don't know, I'm probably 135, and I've maintained that, you know, on a consistent basis with no drama. But I only got to this place because I was willing to do the hard internal work and to feel the discomfort of having restraints. And that's the thing that people don't tell you. When you first begin to practice restraint, it's uncomfortable. And I tell my clients this all of the time. If you are willing to feel any emotion, there is nothing that you can't create, become, or do. But feeling that discomfort of restraint is part of the process. And on the other side of it is a new normal. It's a new way of being. Now, I would never fathom just sitting around out of sadness eating a bag of Cheetos. Yet, that's what I used to do. Now I just sit and feel the sadness and realize, wow, it doesn't kill me, doesn't feel great, but I can feel sadness, I can feel joy, I can feel all of it. And that comes from practicing feeling your emotions and not using things outside of you to numb yourself out. And so by putting restraints in place, you better believe all of those emotions came up. And this is a whole different topic, but since I'm talking about it, all of these emotions came up that I had to learn to deal with. But by learning to feel all of those emotions, you guys, I feel like I'm so unstoppable now because there's so many things that I used to wouldn't do because I was afraid of feeling an emotion. Even like a podcast, you know, the fear of humiliation or what are people going to think? I would have hid from that and been in the corner eating Cheetos. Now I'm able to feel all of it. But that's one of the other beauties of restraint is when you start putting these restraints in your life that really protect you and guide you and help you create the most amazing life, it's going to be uncomfortable. But there is a freedom to restraint. And while I thought restraint would be shackling, what has happened is how much more freedom I feel in my life. Because imagine this, imagine waking up knowing exactly where you need to focus. Feeling in control when it comes to your eating, walking away from your meals, feeling energized and satisfied and not stuffed and miserable. Imagine creating things you're proud of because you gave it your full attention. Imagine looking at your bank account and feeling abundant. Imagine opening your closet doors and feeling excited about getting dressed. These are just little things that practicing restraint can offer you. When you pursue restraint, you are giving your brain focus and direction. You are being the CEO of your own mind. No longer are you reacting, but you're like, you know what? I've decided ahead of time. these are my rules for how I'm going to live. And then you know what is a strong yes and what's an absolute no. You start cutting away the things that don't align with your dreams. You're full of clarity, and suddenly you experience the truth that I doubted for so long. Less really is more. So I want to ask you a question. Where do you need to practice restraint in your life? Maybe it's something I haven't even mentioned in my list. Maybe there's another area where you're thinking, wow, it just feels out of control. I feel like I'm reacting to life in this area. Whatever it is, be gumptuous enough, be bold enough, be courageous enough to put protection around your dreams, because that's truly how I see this concept of restraint. And if you want to work with me personally on this, on learning to restrain your ideas, your dreams, so that you can actually focus and get things done, I would love, love, love to support you in my live workshop called the Dream Atelier. Again, you can go to the Dream Atelier, and that's ATELIER.com/enroll. We're going to start on January the 1st, 2019. And I feel like I need to say this really quickly. This program is not for everyone, okay? This is really for the women who are ready to take action. This is for the women who are tired of letting themselves down, who have been spinning in confusion and self-sabotage. The framework that I'm going to be sharing with you is exactly how I create everything. The things that are leading to the bigger dreams that I have. It's how I create programs like this. It's how I create clean closets and I create retreats. It's how my mind works in order to get things done that lead me towards my dreams. And again, we're going to be focusing it down into 30 days. So that means January 1st, 2019, you are going to be starting out with clarity. No more confusion, no more being stuck, no more waiting until the next year, right? This is for the woman who wants 2019 to be very different. If that sounds like you, I'd love to support you. If you have any questions, you can always email us at support@tanyalee.com. Love you. Look forward to seeing you in the next podcast. Cheers.